Goats don't smell like them. Chickens, cows don't smell like them. Socks that are made with wool and sweaters that are made with wool do not smell like them. There is a unique odor to these creatures that I don't particularly like. In fact, if I ever get wind of a greasy lanolin oil mix of manure and sometimes foot rot, it brings me right back to being on a farm with sheep. And the thing is, after a day of working with these creatures, I cannot wait to get a shower after all these smells that have now found their way to my skin. Turns out, sometimes people choose to be around said animals. We call them shepherds, bless their hearts. They choose to smell like this mixture. Crazy shepherds. God love those folks, right? Yet, God in all His wisdom, He decides when the announcement comes that the Messiah is going to be born, who does He choose to go to first? People who smell like lanolin. Shepherds. These people that hang out with sheep all day long. That's who He chooses. I would have chosen differently. Maybe you're with me. You would have chosen differently too. Well, we are talking a little bit about shepherds today. We're kicking off a series, Behold Christmas, doing Christmas basically every Sunday. And today is going to be a day where we're going to look at some witnesses, the first witnesses of Messiah Jesus, and how amazing and special it was. And then we conclude the series with a special candlelight Christmas Eve gathering at 7 p.m. So I'm pretty excited about the Christmas season. I hope you lean in. I hope you're open in your life to making space for God during this season. It's an honor to worship Jesus with you. I'm Ben, pastor here. Glad to worship Jesus with you, like Christ followers all over the globe. In fact, as we lean in, we're going to pray here in a minute. But my heart is heavy for a lot of places in the world where they are not enjoying the freedom and peace that we have right here. Places in like Sudan, Palestine, what's happening in Syria. There's a lot of conflict, wars and rumors of wars. And there are Christ followers in all those places. So my heart is for them too. So as you're praying, even this season, be thinking about those Christ followers all over the world that are in difficult circumstances, that they may know God's presence, His protection, His power, maybe His rescue. So let's take a few moments before we get into talking about shepherds and just pray. Father, we come before You because You're loving and Your love is way more powerful than we even give You credit for. You love us way more than we can imagine, even though we are more sinful than we'll ever admit. Father, our hearts are for places in the world suffering from conflicts. We pray for all your children in all those places. Strengthen them. And Father, we get to worship like this together without fear of oppression, without fear of forces coming at us. Lord, we recognize that as a privilege, and we're thankful for it. Lord, as we lean in, may You speak to us by the power of Your Holy Spirit and help us, Father, to truly behold You this season. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible or a device, I think it's page 591 in the printed ones if you happen to have one. But it's Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the passage that Linus just read. And I am not going to be able to do justice to Peanuts. That is classic, and you don't mess, right? You don't mess with the classics. But I will do my best. If you can stand with me, would you do that, please? I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You're going to have a seat. God shows up in some unlikely places sometimes to some unlikely people. The shepherds get to be the first to hear it. And they will eventually become the world's first evangelists of the good news of Messiah Jesus landing on the planet. Pretty amazing. And what was it like for them to see this, to experience this? I mean, this is way before special effects. I mean, they're just in a field. And like the world blows up in front of them. You know, sky, it's bright. What was it like for them? You know, first, one angel shows up, which, I mean, I don't know about you, but if one angel showed up, I would be pretty impressed. I wouldn't need more. If one angel showed up, I'd be like, okay, bucket list, done. Maybe. So one angel starts the conversation, and then a whole bunch more show up. And they're just glory all around and praising. They're talking about peace on earth, which I think is interesting. Because in the first century, when you say something like peace, your mind immediately went to the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, imperial Rome. And that wasn't a peace brought by anything but sword and blood. And here's the angel saying, there's a peace that is now coming, that is a peace beyond understanding, that's not brought with a sword. You can't help but see the contrast there, that this is a new thing God is doing, and it's going to bring peace that has nothing to do with a sword. It has everything to do with the Savior. So big things are happening. And this splendor of the angels, I don't know what it looked like. I mean, when you picture this, what do you picture? Like intense light? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know if they were singing. Sounds like they were saying some things. But just this presence that was overwhelming. And it shows up in a field. I've been to a lot of fields. I've been on a lot of fields. And there's not anything special about a field. And God's presence shows up. God's presence comes to earth in a powerful way. Now, I might be wrong, but the last time in the scriptures that God did that happened way back in 1 Kings chapter 8. Now your minds are going, what in the world? Think about Solomon's temple. Solomon was David's son. Son number 7 or 8, I can't remember. He builds this temple to God. And then there's a dedication day. And God shows up in a big way. And that was special back then. Now God's showing up in a similar fashion to some shepherds who smell like lanolin in a field. What new thing is God up to? Because heaven has now touched earth again. What new thing is God going to do? And it's interesting that they're watching this, and this single angel turned into like a heavenly angelic, flash mob. You remember those? Do they still do those anymore? where everybody's in a crowd and all of a sudden they start doing dance moves. I don't know. I don't know if that's what we're picturing here, a heavenly flash mob. But these shepherds get to witness it. I think I want to draw a few things from this. And maybe you've thought about this, maybe not. This could be fresh ideas. They were first told, these shepherds were told what's going on. This announcement happens when they were just doing what they always do. I mean, they weren't pausing for a prayer service. They weren't really doing anything specifically religious that we can tell. They're just doing what they're doing. They're protecting sheep. I don't know. Just doing what they're doing. God showed up not in a religious space or doing religious moments. He showed up in a field just doing what they do. Just average blue-collar workers. I think that's interesting. I want to ponder that for a second. Can God do that for us too? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you really felt God's presence and you weren't necessarily in a religious space? It could be you're at the coast or on a mountain or somewhere like that. Or maybe you're staring at a painting in a gallery, or you're listening to a beautiful piece of music that makes you cry. That's God's presence doing some pretty amazing things. They were just doing what they were doing. God showed up. Here's the next thing. Did you notice that their first show of emotion wasn't awesome angels? Their first reaction is abject fear. Because they're worried, I don't know, this seems like a big deal. They weren't doing anything religious or whatever. They're just doing their thing. And God shows up. They might have feared for their life. I don't know. They've never seen anything like this. Their first reaction isn't joy. It's fear. That's why the angel said, hey, what's the command? Do not fear. All right? This is good news. We're bringing good news. Here's another thing. These shepherds in that moment experience what I would call a heavenly moment. It's almost like the veil of heaven, new heavens and new earth, gets pulled back. And they get to almost see a revelation scene. You know, remember the book of Revelation? Some of what's amazing about the book of Revelation is you have these scenes in the heavenly places, the heavenly realms. Angels are there, and they're praising God. These shepherds, in a field, smelling like they do, they get a revelation moment where they get to see heaven opened. God coming to earth, this is a beautiful thing they got to experience. Another thing, they actually believed the message of the Lord. They believed. Not only that, but the text says, then they made haste to go see. Here's a beautiful example of people who heard what God said and actually did something about it. What a novel idea. We, on the other hand, I don't think are so good at this sometimes. Because the text says they went in haste. Like, they were wanting to obey God, and they didn't delay. They weren't like, well, you know, hey, it's dark. Wouldn't it be easier to find the baby in the daylight? I mean, it's supposed to be in this manger thing. We're going to be knocking on doors or caves or whatever. This is what we do. God tells us to do something, or we're pretty sure he's told us to do something, and we delay. Well, you know, I need to get some more sleep. I need to be fresh for this. I need to shower and get this lanolin off me. Good call. I would have done that. But they heard and did it with haste. Hold on to that. They were the first evangelists. They were the first to get to tell the story about Messiah showing up. That's a pretty good privilege. And these shepherds, they saw God before any of the religious professionals. They saw God before people of power, those elite, the rich, the powerful, the privileged. That isn't who the angel showed up to. God, in this moment, doesn't show up to the professionals. He shows up to average, blue-collar, doing-what-they-do people. Even the studied religious folks. Nope. God shows up in some extraordinary ways to what we would think are just ordinary people. That should give you and I some hope. That maybe as long as we're breathing air on this planet, that God just might use us in some extraordinary way, even though we feel pretty ordinary. What does Mary think of all this? This is one of the first times we hear this text telling us that Mary is hearing what's going on. You know, her and Joseph standing there, these shepherds, you know, smelly as they are, they're telling some good information. And they're saying, we were in the field. So they're recounting what happens. Mary is pondering all this. What did she think? In Max Lucado's book, God Came Near, one of my favorite books that he's ever written, he wrote it a long, long time ago. In God Came Near, he wrote this about this moment of the shepherds. I just want to read it down. It's not very long. The shepherds, they sat silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, but no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. And God goes to those who have time to hear him. So on that cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. He goes to those, did you catch that? Who have time for him. Boy, my hope is that we're making time. We're making, as we say in like the spiritual formation realm, making space for God. I do this in a number of ways in my personal time with the Lord. Sometimes you'll see me around town just praying and walking. I take time in silence. I follow the liturgical calendar sometimes. I pray all kinds of different ways, all the different traditions, because I'm trying to make space for God. God comes, just like he did for those shepherds, for those who make space for him, who have time for God. And I wonder if you've made some good time for God. If not, it's time to start making time, right? They did something about it. They didn't just hear what the angel said. They did something about it. And I think this is challenging for us for a lot of reasons. We delay our obedience. You know, we want to get things right. And that's not the biblical way to do it at all. But we delay, or we minimize, or we pretend maybe I didn't hear it right. They did it in haste. They went. One scholar that I read said this about that. This attitude of the shepherds is in such a contrast to the religious leaders who knew the baby was to be born, but didn't take the time or the effort to confirm it for themselves. If you read on in the text, there's this king who gets a little upset. His name is Herod. And guess what he does? He goes to the religious professionals and said, what's going on here? These wise men from, hey, what's happening here? Was something supposed to happen? And you get this odd moment where the religious leaders, you have to look it up, where the religious leaders are like, yeah, actually there is some data, there's some text on a Messiah being born about, and they start admitting that they knew, but didn't say a word. But these shepherds, they had a different attitude. They had time and space for God to do an amazing thing. And what's weird, so the angels tell them, okay, you need to find a baby, and here's how you're going to find the baby. It's going to be wrapped in clothes. Now, any mommy from the first century would tell you, every baby in Bethlehem is going to be wrapped in clothes, right? They're not going to be naked. They're going to have clothes wrapped. Here's the distinguishing thing. He's going to be this king of the universe, Messiah, all the Jewish people have been waiting for. Check this out, shepherds. Swaddling clothes, yes, in a feeding trough. That sounds ridiculous. And I bet it sounded like that to the shepherds who are very familiar with feeding troughs. So Messiah King in a feeding trough. We call it manger, but that's basically what it is. Have you seen a feeding trough? Have you seen one of these things in real life? No mama in their right mind is going to say, that's where my baby's going to go. It's dirty. Bacteria. They didn't know about that then, but you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to put my baby in there. Joseph and Mary were a bit desperate. She cleaned it out the best she could. That's how the shepherds would know this is the right baby. That's how they would know. And the shepherds show us something very interesting. They believe this preposterous thing, and they go, they search in haste and find him. And they tell Mary and Joseph all about this, and I'm reminded of something, that God goes first to the humble, the outcast, the marginalized, the last on the list, not first to the proud and powerful. You hear that? That may bother some of us. We feel like, well, we have reached a certain place in life where we have God owes me. No, he doesn't. God shows up to the poor and the we need to hear this in our day right now. God is doing some amazing things in non-Western cultures. We have some missionaries that our church supports in some of these places. It's amazing how when people have made space for God in some of these other cultures, God has shown up. And we're here in our stiff little existence sometimes, and I think our wealth and position has blinded us. It's almost stopped up our ears and kind of put blinders on us. We're not even looking for God anymore because we got it. We got this life thing. But boy, we're brought right into reality when that diagnosis comes through, or that retirement is lost, or the job is lost, or that relationship ends. Suddenly we're become well aware. I need God right now in my poor and marginalized state. God is doing things. And it's amazing. They find the baby in the manger. What was that conversation like? But they're just ecstatic. And they go to tell everybody. They're telling everybody this story. Every party they go to after this, you know the shepherds are going to bring it up. You know what I mean? Every time people are, whatever, having a holiday party, hey, let me tell you the story. They probably never let this go, that they saw the Savior of the world. Look, if Mary and Joseph had stumbled upon or somehow been lucky enough to find a nicer place, like a palace or a home of a wealthy person, they wouldn't have even been let in. We're not letting the shepherds in here. Are you kidding me? These people smell like lanolin and other stuff. Right? Would never have been let in. God, in his infinite wisdom, decided it was the shepherds first. Blows my mind. They told everybody. And we see here, again, one of the first times that Mary is starting to make this internal journal. Now, I'm not sure, we don't know. She's starting to take notes. But we do know that Mary was instrumental in getting some of this actually written down for us so we would have it so many years later. Her recollections are precious. She had all these moments. And as the writers of the New Testament, many of them being dying or quickly dying off, they're compiling all these stories together. And they just can't, they're going to whoever. And Mary is instrumental in some of these stories because only Mary saw some of this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jesus didn't even know them yet. Jesus was a baby. But Mary was there. So she's treasuring things in her heart because she knew how important they were for us in this room to hear. And every year we read them again because we're amazed once again about a God who put on flesh and walked among us. The creator of the universe. Ridiculous that he would be born into a human existence and be in a manger where animals fed. The shepherds were there. So I want us to learn some things. And this is a big one. God often shines the light on the marginalized in our world. He will shine the light on the marginalized, the not important, the not first on the list, folks. Just like he did for these shepherds, God has a way of shining the light on the marginalized. And we need to hear that. They are important and precious in his sight. And God shows up in unlikely places. He can even show up in a field or in a town called Dallas or on your hike. God can show up in mysterious places, and he's still working in mysterious ways. And I want us, this would be my prayer for all of us, that we would make space for that to happen. We would make space for that to happen. So are you this morning one of the shepherds? Is that where you're at right now? Are you feeling like, yeah, I identify with the shepherds? Or maybe you identify with Joseph and Mary. Just, I don't know what's going on here. This is crazy. What is God doing? Maybe you're one of the people that got to hear the firsthand witness account of what these shepherds saw and heard. Maybe you're one of those. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you feel marginalized. Maybe you feel like the poor and the downtrodden. Maybe you feel like someone who needs a heavenly flash mob to happen this week. Maybe you feel like you need a touch from God. You need the power because you feel like you've got none. Here's what I think in this whole talk today, these shepherds teach us a pretty important thing. That Jesus empowers the powerless. Those who feel like they don't have it, he empowers the powerless. In fact, some of the other writings in the New Testament talk about how God's power is made perfect in our weakness. It's not like God is surprised by your weakness or your mistakes or your hang-ups. He's not, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, he did. In fact, he knew all that before you were ever born and still loved you. So, I don't know where you're at. If you're feeling you need God's power, let this story and the testimony of the shepherds beholding this remind you that Jesus empowers the powerless. Let him do that. Think about an area of your life where you know you're powerless. You invite him in. God, I can't do it. You know, you could be at a spot right now where you're like, if God doesn't show up, I'm in trouble. Believe that he empowers the powerless. For you, for people in your life, imagine what God could do if we began to make space for him. And we yielded and surrendered to him, knowing that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Let's behold like those shepherds did and understand that God empowers the powerless. Let's pray. Father, you're good and powerful. You're mighty. You have everything we need. And what's great is you want to give it to us. So, Father, we come empty-handed to you today, every day. We're thankful for grace and mercy and hope and a peace that goes beyond understanding, a peace that isn't brought by a sword or the shedding of blood, a peace that was brought because you came into our world. You humbled yourself, put on flesh, walked among us, showed us what it was truly meant to be human. Father, help us to be your hands and feet this week, and that we remember that you still empower the powerless. In Jesus' name, amen.